Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we read this. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself conceived strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." Now this is a very important verse as we look at faith, as we read verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Now, some look at this passage of Scripture and they conclude that God is looking for faith. They conclude that God has some particular regard to faith. And we read about faith in Scripture. This whole chapter is about faith. But I'm declaring to you that God is not pleased with faith per se. If we understand by faith what men generally mean by faith. Now, what faith generally means to most people is that they had an expectation and a confidence that something was going to happen. I mean, you know, you got to have faith. I mean, that's what they tell us. I mean, they tell us that, well, now if you get sick, what you need to do is have faith that you're going to be healed and you're going to be healed. You just got to believe it. And so that it comes to pass in the minds of men that that's what it is that this passage of Scripture is saying, that God is looking for somebody that's got faith, and He's just, man, it doesn't really matter what the basis of your faith is. It's just that you got to have faith. You just got to have it. But that's not at all what this passage of Scripture says. Most especially when we look at the context of what Paul has been saying here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and chapter 11, and then even as he goes on into chapter 12, and he says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Now here's what the faith is. God's just not running around out here looking for somebody that's got faith, and then He's just happy when He finds somebody. But the scripture says here that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, what is the faith that it is impossible to please God without? It is the faith of Jesus Christ. It is the one who is the author and finisher of our faith. That is the basis. Now, remember, as this chapter started off, faith is the substance. That is, the persuasion is the that which we are persuaded of, that which we are convinced of, that which we are, our hope is built upon. That is the faith. And so without the faith of Jesus Christ, that is that faith which is in Christ, that faith which is of Christ, that faith which rests upon that which Christ done, it is impossible to please God. God is not just looking for men of faith. Now you hear, and especially in this political climate that we have in this present time, people talk about regarding the faith of all men. Well, we're not sent out into the world to despise and overturn and destroy other people's religion. I mean, let people have the religion they want. But we're sent out into the world to declare that there is one faith with which God is pleased. Now, if that offends people, it just offends people. We can't help that. You know, we're not trying to offend them. We're just trying to tell people what the truth is, and the faith that is pleasing unto God is that which is in Jesus Christ. No other. I mean, it doesn't make any difference what that, how strong somebody believes. Now, those men that destroyed the World Trade Center, now, they were men of faith. I mean, they had some kind of faith, did they not? Now, was God pleased with that faith? I believe it would overturn everything we understand about what the Scripture says if we said yes. No, because that was a faith that was built on the wrong foundation. It was not the faith with which God is pleased here. And without this faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Who is? That Jesus Christ is God. Now, if we believe God is, now see, some people say, oh, well, we just believe in God. Well, we don't know about Jesus Christ. We don't believe in him, but we believe in God. Well, I'm here to tell you that according to what the Scripture says, it is impossible for a man to have a right understanding or knowledge of God if he does not have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do we know that? He said, I and my Father are one. He said to the Pharisees, if ye had known my Father, ye would have known me. And so it is, dear brethren, if a man knows God, he must know Jesus Christ. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about this. Now, men can have all sorts of religious experiences and things that go on in the world, but that of which we declare is that which is set forth here in the Scripture. There's one faith with which God is pleased, not general faith, but the faith of Christ, that one of whom Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is that bedrock, that one upon which it is built. Now, is there another faith with which God would be pleased? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, did he mean that nobody who, but just those that know about this, And all these people that don't know about it, they've got another way? No. He said, I am the way. I am the way. There's not another way. Well, what about all these other people in the world? I don't know. The Lord knows them that are His. He knows them that are His. And I believe this, He'll bring them to Himself
in his own time, but he's not going to bring them through another faith, is he? He's not going to bring them through another Savior, is he? I mean, would we not all absolutely conclude that there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ? And there is no faith with which God would be pleased except that which is in Jesus Christ. And this is one of the things, you see, that was offensive as Paul went preaching the gospel. Because men don't like to be told that what they believe is not good enough. They don't want to hear that, see. Men will get mad at you. See, Rolf Barnard, he said that you could preach anything you want to men, but he said when you start killing their God, he said that's when they'll rise up against you. When you start laying axe to the root of that which they hold dear, then they will fight against you. Now, we're not sent into the world to slay gods. I mean, the Lord's quite able to do that on His own. But we're sent into the world to declare the truth. And that's what He says here. By faith, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, if a man would approach unto God, he must believe that He is. That He is God. I mean, would he believe that God's just a God? The thought of God? See, a lot of people just have the thought of God, don't they? Well, I believe in God, but... Well, dear brethren, there's no buts associated with believing God is. Now, if God is, He is an absolute. And He absolutely has revealed to us that He is Jesus Christ. So if a man cometh unto Him, he must believe that He is. He said to Abraham, I am. I mean unto Moses, he said, I am. Now the same one that said, I am, is the one of whom we speak when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am He. He said, I am He. When they came to get Him in the garden, and with all their spears and swords and everything, and He said, whom seek ye? And they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And you know what He said? He said, I am. Now, it's in italics if you look in the Scripture. It says, I am He. But what He actually said was exactly what the Lord said to Moses. He said, I am. And you know what happened? The Scripture says they all fell backwards. They were swept off their feet. Now, you talk about being slain in the Spirit. They were slain in the Spirit. Brother, they were knocked off their feet. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is that one of whom He says He is. Now, if Jesus Christ is not exactly and 100% who He said He was, then He is the biggest deceiver that ever walked upon the face of the earth. And you can't trust anything that He said. You know, when people say, oh, well, we believe most of what Christ said. Well, brother, you can't believe most of what Christ said. Because if He didn't mean what He meant and He didn't say what He said, and it's not true what He said. I mean, if you know a guy will lie to you about one thing, are you going to believe him on something else? If he said, I and my Father are one. If he said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Are you going to believe, if he lied to you about that, are you going to believe something else that he said? Well, see, you've got a lot of people that believe that Jesus taught good things. So we believe in the teachings of Jesus. Well, dear brethren, if you don't fall on your face and worship Him, you do not believe in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He said that all men must worship Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, over and over in the Scripture, we read that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we believe that to be an absolute fact. Now, we know a lot of times people get the cart ahead of the horse and they think that men are causing God to save them because they believe, but the reality of the matter is that that's backwards, because those that believe are those who are caused by God to believe. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And so it is the work of God in a man to give him faith to believe. And everyone who believes and comes to him, what did he say? He said, I'll no wise cast them out. So this is an absolute truth, that if a man calls upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. Now, if he just calls out because he's in trouble, shall he be saved? That's not what it says. It says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord? Now, a lot of people, they go into a great big study and they'll tell you, it's a certain combination of vowels and stuff. It's not a combination of vowels and consonants that are put together that make up the name of God. But the name of God is the name of the one who came into this world and he said, I and the Father are one. He's the one who came and he went to Calvary's cross and he poured out his blood for sinners. That's the one whose name we call upon. And the Scripture indicates that his name is Jesus. The angel came to Joseph and he said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, dear brethren, it says that for a man must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What is the reward of those that seek him? His very presence, his salvation. That is the reward of God's people. Now, a lot of people get hung up on rewards. I remember there was a song that you sing, will there be any stars in my crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, when I stand with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? And people are looking for all these rewards they're going to get for all this stuff they've done. Dear brethren, that's not the picture. The reward of God is the salvation that the Lord gives to those whom He is pleased to call by His grace. And He's pleased to give them faith. And He's pleased to see that faith in operation. And He's pleased to cause them to believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, no man who, by the grace of God, has been moved of the Spirit of God to cast himself upon the mercy of God shall ever be cast away. Because there's nothing that ever moves a man to come to that place except the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God doesn't do things halfway, does He? He doesn't try to do things, but He does things according to the good pleasure of His will. And so without faith, it's impossible to please Him. A specific faith. For he that cometh to God, not any God, but a God, the God, that one who has revealed Himself unto men, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We believe that what He said is true. Because you see, He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. The Lord's not in the business of fooling people. You know, he's not in the business of bringing people along only to disappoint them in the end. But he that believeth that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Such is the place upon which we stand. Then he said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Noah was a man that he believed that the Lord was going to do what he said he was going to do. Well, how did he believe it? Did he just study the stars and he came up with the idea? What made Noah believe that God was going to cause it to rain on earth? Was he just an eccentric? Huh? No, God gave him the faith to believe it. He caused him to believe it. Now, can you explain it? Can you explain how a man out in the middle of wherever he was, surrounded by all these people that didn't believe what the Lord told him, goes about and starts building a big boat? Can you explain that? Does that make any sense at all? I mean, that is the stupidest thing you've ever heard of in your life. And I'm sure he got plenty of ridicule till the raindrops started falling. And then, you know, people probably said, well, wait a minute, maybe he was right. But you see, Noah didn't do anything any different than anybody else. But he was caused by the grace of God to believe something that he didn't know was true, did he? But you see, what did he believe? He believed the one that said it. How did he do it? Because what? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And by faith, you see, the persuasion that he had was that which moved him to do what he was going to do. Now, if he didn't believe that he was supposed to be building the boat, do you think he would have been building the boat? No, but how was he persuaded of that? Because he believed God. How did he do it? By grace. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He said, man, I've got to get this boat built. Because God's fixing to send a flood upon the earth. And he's going to destroy this earth. And he moved with fear. He believed it. And it caused him to move. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. Now, do we condemn the world? Well, in one sense, we don't condemn the world in the sense that we don't go out here and speak out wrath and judgment on people in some personal way. But we do condemn the world in saying to the world that this world is going to be destroyed and everyone who is not in the ark of God is going to be destroyed with it. And so in that measure, we do condemn the world. And we do say with Noah, I'm not part of this world. I'm preparing for a world to come. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith. He became an heir of righteousness. Now that word became means simply that he demonstrated. In other words, he didn't earn a place of righteousness because he believed, but he manifested the fact that he was an heir of righteousness because the Lord gave him faith to believe. How do we know who the chosen of God were in the days of the flood? How would you know it? They were the ones on the ark. Who are those who are the chosen of God? They're the ones who are in Christ. How'd they get in Christ? By grace. How are they manifested to be the sons of God? Through faith. I mean, how is it? Same way it was with Noah. Then it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he would have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. Brother Al's brought this out very well. How did Abraham know that? Did he read it in a book somewhere? No, God gave him faith to believe it. And he went. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he was doing. What are you doing, Abraham? I don't know. I don't know, but God said to do this, and I'm going. How would he have known that except God gave it to him? He was called to go out to a place which he would after receive for an inheritance. Now, we're called in the same fashion, are we not, to possess something that we have not seen, but that afterwards it is an inheritance, is it not? Because we believe that we have been made heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And it's been made ours, not through some effort of our own. Abraham didn't think that he could go and earn his inheritance, but he knew that God alone could give it to him, just like he knew that when he looked at what he had and he said, Lord, you've said that you're going to give me an heir to my those things that thou hast given me. How can it be? Except you cause it to come to pass. It can't be. I'm helpless. I'm without any hope. I've come to the end of my road. I don't see how this is going to work out. By faith, he went out not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. See, God's people are all heirs of the same promise. It's not a different one for each individual one, but it's the same promise. And God's people are satisfied with the same promise. You know, in this world, we all like to get something a little better than somebody else. I mean, if we get a truck that's got a stereo in it, then we won't, or if somebody gets that, then we think, well, you know what we need is let's get us one that's got stereo with surround sound. I mean, you know, we got to have something that's just a little better than what the next fella's got. But you see, we're heirs of the same promise because it's the same Christ. And He is that which we are the inheritors of all that which belongs to Him, as this one seed that was promised to Abraham, not to seeds as of many, but as of one, which is Christ. He's the inheritance. You see, Abraham knew somehow, same way you do, although he knew less about it than you do, that he was an inheritor of a promise that was in Christ. The promised seed, that one which was to come. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for something that was not of his own making. Now, that's what the Christian faith is in a nutshell, is that our hope is built on something outside of ourselves. It's not what we did. It's not because we believed, but we've been made to believe. And we have a confidence in Him. And all of our hopes and expectations are cast there. And that's why the Lord Jesus gave us this. Because it's upon this that every part and parcel of that thing which we hold dear rests. Because if this doesn't mean what he said it meant, if this is not an evidence of that blood atonement which was made for our sin, then brethren, we don't have any hope or expectation. But we believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And we believe that those that diligently seek Him are those whom the Spirit of God has sought out and called by His grace and caused to believe and caused to see that which Christ has done set before us. And He said to do this in remembrance of Him. He says, often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show or manifest the Lord's death till He come. And it's given to us strictly as that, a manifestation, a reminder of the broken body and the shed blood of Christ, our Lord.